You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 20th, 2022. Welcome back, especially if you're watching us at rumble.com. We are live streaming. You simply go to rumble.com, enter in the search part, Larry Connors, USA, all one word, and then push it, and then go down and find the live portion, open it up, and join us in studio. Glad to have you. I see a lot of folks tend to look at it later in the day because they're not able to see it right now. Glad to have you listening, though. So here comes word from Russia that the Defense Ministry is announcing it's conducted the first test launch of its new Sarmat intercontinental ballistic missile. Putin says this is a nuclear weapon that will, quote, provide food for thought for those who try to threaten our country. Now, just yesterday, Russian administration was saying, we're not threatening anybody. And yet here is Putin making sure this missile got launched with some practice warheads. And Putin is bragging, see, you want to threaten us now? We got this intercontinental ballistic missile. We can hit anywhere. That's what he wants you to believe. But the war itself continues in Ukraine. And people are dying while diplomats are trying to find a way around all of this. Ukrainian forces still resisting Russian attacks in Mariupol. It's been an amazing battle to keep that city and protect people that are still there and they can't get out. They're told occasionally that there will be an area open where you can leave, and then suddenly it gets shelled and targeted by the Russians. Almost like they're being set up, walking into the trap. At last report, 120,000 are still in that city. They have little, if any, water in some cases and little, if any, food. The Ukrainian president is saying that we don't have in my country enough serious and heavy weapons to defeat the Russians in Mariupol. He said, we don't know when we can unblock it. But I will say this openly. All of our boys in Mariupol want a victory. They want a free city, and they're not going to surrender to the enemy. He said, we need more help. Where is it? This takes us back to the Biden administration's failure from the beginning to recognize what was happening as the Russian forces were gathering in Belarus, north of Ukraine, gathering along the eastern border of Ukraine, putting ships into the Black Sea south of Ukraine, and Biden was just willing to accept, these are just war games, we're just playing around. We should have put more weapons in at that point. And now comes word from the Biden administration, oh, we're going to hit them with some more sanctions. I don't know how many times I've had to say over and over again, you can threaten them with all the sanctions and say, we've got a toolbox of these, and we will hit you with all of them at one time. The first artillery shell that falls in Ukraine. But we don't. We do it piecemeal by piecemeal, as if, well, let's try another effort. This latest is to hit a key commercial bank and a global network of more than 40 individuals listed and led by a U.S.-designated oligarch. Why didn't you not do this earlier? Why are you still doing it piecemeal? People are dying, and you're still deciding, what else we got in the toolbox? Let's try this one. Like that's going to stop Putin? Seriously? By the way, the U.S., even though President Biden the other day said we're going to start opening up oil leases, it's going to take at least a year to get things back up to speed. So they still were going to be asking other places. Well, now they're no longer going to ask Saudi Arabia for help. There's been a snag between the Saudis and the Biden administration. On federal prosecutors announcing today charges against at least 20 for seeking to defraud the government health programs of $150 million in pandemic-related scams. Are you surprised? I'm not. And then we got to find members of the media and other liberals. They are wearing their COVID-19 masks, but now they have them printed with "Kiss My." See, they want to mock you because you're not wearing one. Don't mock them back. Let them live in their own little world. Let them live in their bubble.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Years ago, I was on the radio and I said, who could argue with a mom? Moms are going to make all the difference in the world, and they are. If every mom and dad stood up right now, this would be over. It would be over overnight.
What's happening is all it's taking is one brave person in each community to step up. And, you know, and sometimes they say we're very alone. I feel like I'm the only person here.
Yeah.
We send them to a school board meeting and someone sees them speak up, and then they have two. And then the two of them go next week and speak up, and then they have three. And we have grown in that fashion with zero marketing budget over the last 14 months to 80,000 active moms in 34 states and 180
chapters. 180
chapters.
That's a recent interview given to Glenn Beck on the Blaze Network and his syndicated program. I certainly want to credit Beck for that. He's interviewing a woman by the name of, let me get it right here, pardon me, Tina Deskovic. She is a co-founder of a group called Moms for Liberty. She's been giving numerous interviews, talking on, and of course, obviously, gathering a lot of followers and supporters, moms and dads, that are concerned about what's been happening at their school districts. It's not just Loudoun County, Virginia. If you think it's not happening in your school, you're being misled. So the other day, when the word came out that some of the textbooks, 41 of them, or 40% of them, I should say, in Florida were being thrown out because the Department of Education under DeSantis had ruled that these textbooks are not suitable. By that means they're not really teaching math. They're being used to sneak in CRT, critical race theory, and are transgenderism and sex and things of that nature for children and younger grades. Well, they have a law in Florida now, as you know, that many have, the critics have called, don't say gay, which that's not what it is, but don't let the facts interfere with a good story or a good narrative. What it does is you can only teach certain subjects ages 3 and below, period. And if it's going to be at ages, say, grades 3 and below, and if it's ages or grades 4 and up, you need parental permission. That's all it says. Parents need to have the right to see what their children are being taught. And the parents should have an opportunity to say, not in my school and not with my kids. There are more and more parents that have suddenly decided we need to maybe homeschool. Some parents aren't equipped to do that. Let's be honest about it. And I would probably count as one of those when it comes to math and some things of that nature. I'm certainly not equipped. Now, if I get with other parents and we're all doing it, and we got parents that are proficient in one area, then that's great. But not every family that's wanting to teach your kids at school can do it. I was listening to Glenn Beck, I think it was yesterday. He said, I'm worried about what's being taught at kids even going higher up. He said, I won't even let them go, these are his words, let them go to my church's school, because these folks are finding their way into some of those schools. Same thing with colleges. Now, if you're going to pay good money, your dollars and your money, to send your kid off to some school that you know is liberal and is going to be preaching liberal material on a constant basis, indoctrinating them if they're not already there, then you're getting what you're paid for. But if you're sending them to something that appears to be a Christian university or a university that supposedly is focusing on actual education instead of indoctrination, then you're being taken advantage of, and so are your kids. And there are kids that will stand up in some classrooms, but there are also others that just kind of sit quietly and accept, I can't say anything because I need the grade, I need to get through the course. I'll just keep my mouth shut, go about my work, and ignore all the nonsense that goes on around me. The Moms for Liberty co-founder that you were hearing a moment ago was talking about Florida rejecting, I said 40 math books. I think I then changed it to 40%. I stand corrected. They rejected 54 math textbooks, citing concerns about impermissible content, like critical race theory. I don't really have any of the books here in front of me, so I don't know exactly what they've had in there, but the way she describes it, and she's right, math scores in America are dismal. We are. She said 41% of fourth graders are not able to do math at their grade level at this point. 41%. Maybe that's where I came up with that number. So she said the textbooks, math textbooks, should be focusing on numbers, calculations, not ideologies. But, of course, again, we have so many of them that they are. And she said, textbook companies for a long, very long time have been producing more than heavy bricks in our kids' backpacks that they're lugging around. She said, so I'm glad that we have leaders in our state of California that have stepped up and said, no more, we're not giving $7 billion of taxpayer money for another brick in a kid's backpack. And that's where she added, I think parents have felt very long, and I think she's correct. They felt very lonely and alone that they have no support. Now, after COVID lockdown, the schools being shut down, forced masking, they then began to see what was going on in some of the classes because it was being brought into their home on Zoom meetings, Zoom classroom instruction. And parents watching it, they suddenly did not want that to continue. But they didn't know if they had a choice. And that's where they came up with Moms for Liberty. She said, we put the structure in place of parents who could pull their voices together and make a difference. We're excited to see the result of this in 2022, the year of the parent, and what can happen at the ballot box. We're going to get into more of the ballot box itself coming up in a later segment, because even Democrats are recognizing we have pushed too far. And many of them don't really like it either. But they also remain silent because they are fearful of being canceled. So when the teaching in the schools is being challenged, to the extent the Florida legislature, Republican-controlled, with a Republican governor, passes a parental rights bill giving parents a right to know what's being taught and making it clear any textbooks or materials distributed in the class that do not meet the qualifications or acceptance permission of parents at grades 3 and up, and certainly defies them at grades 3 and below, we will shut down. They're not going to be allowed to be taught and presented to our children. We're not going to indoctrinate our children. We're not going to have classes talking about transgenderism to second graders. Who wants to do that? Parents have a tough enough time when the kids get into their early teens to start sitting down and saying, we got to have that talk. And I will grant you that sometimes that might be too late for some kids, especially now with the internet and everything that's out there that they have access to. Used to be if you went to somebody's house and you knew they had a collection of Playboy magazines, that's why you were over at the house. Now you just can get online and you'll find it. Age appropriate becomes an issue. So I'm not talking about morality here. I'm simply talking about, and I have some views along that line, but I'm talking about why would you want to have such discussions with kids 8 and younger? That's pretty much the third grade. Why? So Jen Psaki the other day was on this podcast, and they were talking about the Florida law. And she starts giving her response to her thoughts about it. And she gets so emotional. I swear the woman, she's already got a J-O-B starting sometime next month with one of the cable outlets. Don't know if it's MSNBC. Rachel Maddow has been seen less and less on that channel. Maybe she fears that she's coming after my job. Or if it's going to be over to CNN, all of them are tanking in ratings. But she may be willing to still do her best to get an Emmy or maybe even an Oscar nomination. Maybe she would land herself a role in a movie production that would get on Netflix, which is also losing subscribers at a high rate. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But here's Jen Psaki responding to the Florida law in a recent podcast.
I have to be careful about politics because of the Hatch Act police that are waiting outside in the bushes somewhere. I'm like going to get I'm going to get emotional about this issue because it's horrible. But you know, it's like kids who are bullied and like all these leaders are taking steps to hurt them and hurt their lives.
They are bullied and trying to hurt them and hurt their lives. Biden even made a remark, this will kill kids. Is it like anything like a suicide bomber? No, it's not. It's just that it's rhetoric that you're denying young kids hearing. There's no bullying going on. It's simply saying when you're old enough, you can learn that stuff. But not now, not in our public school system. We're not going to put up with it. I mentioned a moment ago about Netflix. The CNN program, CNN Plus, they came up with, going to be a big showcase for major folks they were bringing on board, including Fox's previous Chris Wallace, who's already showing a lot of liberal leanings. left Fox and went to CNN Plus thinking, I'm going to make a lot of money here. I'll be the star. The ratings have been so bad. The thing about they, in fact, they've stopped advertising for it anywhere. They already have lost so much millions. Now, maybe Wallace will get his check in the end, but the programs have been so bad, apparently he's been throwing fits and crying about it. Netflix stock has tanked 25%. First subscriber loss of a decade because of they keep trying to shove more sexual content into some of their programs and Trans G and everything else as Disney and other woke corporations rush in. So against that, what do you think about the family sex show for children? A family sex show for children as young as 5 years old. It will feature nudity, topics such as sex, LGBT theories on gender. The family sex show was going to be presented at the Tobacco Factory Theater. That's in Bristol, England. Not here. And the Egg Theater in Bath, England, in May. It's been canceled. Organizers claim to have received unprecedented threats and abuse. Well, hell yes, if you're going to put naked performers, and in one case a rainbow-colored gorilla, a man in a gorilla suit with a large penis dangling from his legs, to walk around in front of the kids as if you're trying to enlighten them and you're educating them on anything, yes, family sex show for children. This is how far some of these folks would go if you let them. And then we have Joe Biden. That's coming up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Joe Biden is 79 years of age, and we have seen a lot of questions lately about his ability, cognitive, mental, just general ability to walk and move, be up and stay up late or get up early for events. And his handlers just will not let him get into an arena if they can control it where he might be exposed. I've said this repeatedly, and I do again. If Joe Biden is suffering dementia or the early stages, Alzheimer's, things of that nature, I feel for him. I don't like to see anybody go through that. And I pray for our president every day. Regardless of who he or she might be, because we need strong leadership. The problem is we don't have it with this man. But he apparently, according to reports that surfaced yesterday, told Barack Obama directly, I am going to run for a second term, and I hope I get to run against Trump. He's indicated off and on he's going to run, but this apparently is the first time the word has come out that he actually told Obama. I would really like to know Obama's reaction when Joe Biden told him that. I don't know if it's in person or not, but according to the Hill reporting it, and they said they spoke to two familiar with the conversation, and making it clear that he told Obama, I'm going to run. I want everybody to know it. The Obama staff has refused any comment, good or bad, about Biden running. The White House is not referring, or rather not responding, with any additional comments. Some are asking, does Joe know he said that? I'm just bringing it up. He did tell back in December, ABC News, that he still intended to run for re-election. He said, I'm a great respecter of fate. Fate has intervened in my life many, many times. If I'm in the health I am in now, if I'm in good health, then in fact, I would run again. And Senator Chris Coons, a Delaware Democrat, one of Biden's confidants, had previously told Politico that Biden plans to run again anyway. He knows that we're in the middle of an absolute turning point, a pivot point in American history, and he's up for the challenge. But Coons said that January 2021. I don't see any recent quotes from Coons, Senator Coons acknowledging that again. The question then will be that if Biden runs again, who would be on the ticket with him? Now, there I can be absolutely 100% certain. I'll put my money on the line. It will not be Kamala. It may be another black woman, but it will not be her. And yet she's in California right now, running around trying to raise more money for Democrat candidates and the Democrat Party. She had one job when Biden brought her in. He gave her that one job, the one she did not want, because he certainly didn't want it, and that was take care of our border situation. Not a crisis, not chaos, just take care of it. Thank you, sir. I may have another. I'll do it. She hasn't done a damn thing except travel over the border to Central American states and then back by plane 40,000 feet high and make one visit to a sanitized El Paso center where children and parents were being brought across the border. All of that weighs against all Democrats coming up in 2022. Yeah, they still have to get through this coming November before they get to 24.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And the reason I single these two out is because they're converging. They're basically the same now. His overall job rating, I think, is being seen through the lens of the economy, pure and simple. No other issue is popping through. And then you had this Anzalone interview. What did Biden's pollster say?
Yeah, he came on our podcast, and, you know, he had a lot of interesting things to say. First and foremost, that this was the worst political environment he's seen in his 30 years, which, you know, is scary for a lot of
Democrats. 94 for the Democrats. Like, we could go 10, yeah, exactly. 14. Yeah.
This is the worst environment. Wow. And you know, there was a lot of the concerns that you hear from Democrats behind closed doors. They won't say it on the record or in front of cameras, but they do worry about how the economy is affecting how people think about what they're going to do in the midterms.
Yeah, that's exactly the way they were laying it out with Chuck Todd, host of NBC Meet the Press over the weekend. He brought on several political pundits from various organizations, and they all came back with the same message. There are a lot of landmines out there for Democrats in 2022. And how did that happen? they might do well, according to Jeff Greenfield, who's a certainly a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, five-time Emmy-winning network television analyst, something he wrote that could be traced back to George Orwell. There might be the answer. I'll get into that in a moment. But right now, as the members of this panel were on Sunday Meet the Press, they were bringing up this issue. What's going on? What's happening here? And, of course, part of it had to be with the issue that you heard the first responder say, well, on the podcast I did with representatives of the Biden camp, we talked about a lot of things, a wide range of issues, and it all came down that we just don't think we're messaging well to the base. He brought up Florida, Todd did, where he said that's ground zero for the debate surrounding the parental rights and education law. And his guest argued that Republicans are winning the culture wars. That's just the way it is. So you look at defund the police, you look at defund ICE. Now in Florida, you have this parental empowerment bill. He said Democrats were baited by Republicans to take the position that students who are learning to color and read and write should be taught about sexuality and about gender identity. The party has consistently been, or at least perceived to be, on the wrong side of the issue. That's what he's suggesting, that Republicans were plotting that for you to think that's what the Democrats were doing. You don't have to think it. You can look at it. You can see it. They're talking about some of the polling with that came out of Senator Youngkin's victory in Virginia, as a matter of fact. He said they were using that as take the playbook that the Democrats, the progressives, have taken control of the party, and they're going to shove sex, gender, transgender surgery, things of this nature, down the children's throats, not teaching them really education. So, yeah, if that's a messaging issue, you clearly failed. But the fact is, that's what you've been doing under the cover of darkness, but now the bright spotlight is on it, and it's going to stay there. As we begin this hour talking about the mothers coming together and saying, we're not going to allow Moms for Liberty, we're not going to allow this to happen in the dark anymore. We're going to be at these school board meetings. We have 185 chapters across the nation. We'll continue to push on it. So then Chuck Todd decided, well, let's move to another issue, and that is, what do we do about what's happening with the younger voters that should be important to Biden?
You want to buy a house for the first time? You're paying a higher interest rate than your parents have ever paid.
Yeah.
Never mind food and gas. This is a huge part of the Dem coalition.
It's not great. It's not great. You're talking about one of the key groups that not only helped Democrats win back control of Congress, propelled Biden into the White House, but are also going to be in play in larger numbers than ever before in the upcoming midterms, right? And the economy is front and center. When we talk about the economy, let's be specific, we're talking about inflation, we're talking about cost of living, because the White House will again point to things like unemployment being at record lows in 17 states, under 3% in 20 states, wage growth at the rate it's been. But also the fact that that wage growth is not keeping up with the cost of living, right? So this generation, yeah, they stepped out into the world and were immediately hit with two back-to-back financial crises, right? You have the global financial crisis, then you have this related financial crisis from the pandemic, and things are not getting better. Yeah. Even if you just go back a year, expectations were so high. Vaccines were coming out. Things were going to get back to, back to normal. Their wages have been suppressed. They are forced into unemployment or underemployment, and they are pessimistic about the future.
They're pessimistic about the future. What do you think about teenagers coming in right out of high school, or those already in college, or getting ready to go into high school, then lied about their age following Pearl Harbor as we moved into World War II? How would you rate their pessimism, their optimism, their desire to serve the country and be involved as opposed to these, I need a safe zone. I need a safe place. I need an area where I can just sit and color while I get my mind collected. We have raised this group of little nanny children like this, mostly through liberal ways. So, yeah, they are totally caught off surprise. I thought it'd be like what we have had. No, kiddo, it ain't. And it's changing. And you were part of the change because you were being indoctrinated into accepting everything will be free. I mean, you talk about so many that are upset because Biden is considering we're going to hold off immediately dropping the student loan program. It still doesn't answer the question for those of you who paid off your student loan or you're working hard at it, or parents who did it, who paid college for their kids, or any of them going to get their money back? Larry, what a stupid question. I agree. But then in addition to how the younger voters are saying things, the older voters have their issues as well. But then let's break it out on some racial grounds. Chuck Todd made a point to discuss this issue with one of his other guests. She is Ruth Marcus. She is with the, make sure I get the right source here for you. She's with the Washington Post, their political reporter, and he's talking about battleground states that would include Nevada, heavy Hispanic vote. Listen to her appraisal.
In Nevada is a very acute problem, and it's a indicative problem that, as John Anzalone said, Democrats are facing a very dire situation in November. And just to put some numbers on that, more than 7 in 10, 72% of Nevadans rated economic conditions fair or poor. This is a state that has gone for the Democratic candidate four times in a row, Democratic presidential candidate. It's a state that Biden won. So now his approval rating there is below the overall poll. It's at 35%. Right. And most scary and perhaps most ominous is the peeling off of Hispanic voters in Nevada. Slump of approval rating from 73% a year ago to 52% now. You just read that if you're a Democratic candidate or pollster, you read it and gulp.
And gulp. I'm looking at on Politico, which is rated by Knight, study back a couple of years ago, Politico, moderate but leaning left. They've got a indicator on there that shows how the vote will go in 2022 for Republicans. When it comes to the Senate, it's maybe 60% to 70% might go Republican in the Senate. But when it goes to the House, the needle just almost goes all the way down to 100%. Well, it didn't go quite that far, but at least in the 90% range, Republicans will win the House. We have all of these pundits, and we've seen it before from others, from liberal publications, liberal networks, acknowledging this is not looking good. Well, you put yourself into that place. Which takes me back to what I said a moment ago. Maybe if you had studied George Orwell, you might have found answers that would have preset this in motion for you. I want to share part of that essay by Jeff Greenfield when we continue. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solutions.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. Well, I'm life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Former Vox writer Matthew Eagles, I hope I have that, Eagles probably, wrote that Democrats, quote, are misunderstanding their losses with less educated voters. In other words, misunderstanding their losses with, what, the dumb or dumber? He says less educated voters. And he's disappointed in former President Barack Obama for blaming misinformation as a reason behind voters shifting away from the Republicans. He's blaming Obama for blaming misinformation. Jeff Greenfield, five-time Emmy-winning network television analyst, wrote about this messaging issue for Politico. He said, why are we Democrats losing the working class? Why do they like our policies but vote for the party that comforts the comfortable? What's wrong with our messaging? What's wrong with our candidates? He said, odd as it seems, you can go back to the works of George Orwell, who never set foot in the U.S., been dead for 70 years, but he looked at the Depression ravaged north of England in 1936, chronicling the horrible conditions of those in the mines, the starvation, things of that nature. Orwell wrote, I am making out a case for the sort of person who is in sympathy with the fundamental aims of socialism. But in practice, here's the key, in practice, always takes flight when socialism is mentioned. He said, question a person of this type, you often get the semi-frivolous answer. I don't object to socialism, I object to socialist. Orwell called himself a socialist. He says, socialism is developed form and a theory confined entirely to the relatively well-off middle class. In its language, it's formal, stilted, spoken by people several rungs above their audience with no intention of giving up their status so you can be equal. See, they want to preach to you that everyone will be equal. Green pie in the sky progressives will all be living in the same lack of heat, energy, and everything else. Won't we all be happy? But not everyone. Folks like John Kerry and the rest of them will still have their jets to go around the world in if they want to. Greenfield didn't say that. I did. I want to make it clear from you. But he did say most Democrats, including President Joe Biden, do not support defunding the police. But a failure to make that argument repeatedly in the bluntest of terms permitted that notion to take root. He said House Majority Whip Jim Clyburton noted, defunding the police comes around a lot like burn, baby, burn during the 1960s riots. He said Democrats have another problem that Orwell might have recognized, messaging, which they've been talking about, increasingly crafted by people who too much like me, born and raised in the big city, product of an elite school, a working life whose tools, works, not hammers and nails. He said, my friends, colleagues, and I are distant from the life of regular Americans. And he said, that is a significant understatement. They're not socialists. They're not Marxists. They're hardworking Americans who believe in this country and free enterprise, and many immigrants who came here legally, made money and lives and fortunes here they could not have made anywhere else, except for the opportunities provided by this land, blessed by God. And now you got all these others who want to turn it all upside down. Being led around by a man representing their party right now who has to, in turn, be led around by a giant bunny rabbit. Did you not see the picture the other day Joe Biden greeting kids at the annual egg rolling contest on the White House lawn. And he wanders in the process over towards some reporters who start asking about Ukraine and everything. And one of the giant bunnies, most definitely a White House staffer, came over and got between him and the reporters and threw his hands up like, oh, I'm so glad to see you, and flopping the big ears there. And Biden got distracted, perfect, by the big bunny, and followed the big bunny away from the reporters. Exactly what they wanted. That's the president. That's also part of the messaging. You didn't like Trump. You didn't like his tweets. Okay. But did you like the economy? Did you like where gas prices were? Did you like the fact that unemployment was really great and jobs were being filled and we didn't have rapid inflation, which is going to go up again when the numbers come out for this month? Someone, many have said, I'll take the tweets from Donald Trump any day over higher and higher gas prices or food prices or whatever. And all these young people, as they're told on NBC Meet the Press, they can't go buy a home. Maybe never at this rate. I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.